But I don't want to be an emperor. That's not my business. In this world, there's room for everyone, and the good earth is rich and can provide for everyone. The way of life can be free and beautiful, but we have lost the way. Greed has poisoned men's souls, has barricaded the world with hate. We think too much and feel too little. We think too much and feel too little. More than machinery, we need humanity. More than cleverness, we need kindness. Without these qualities, life will be violent. And all will be lost. Do not despair. The hate of men will pass, and dictators die. Dictators die. And the power they took from the people will return to the people. Will return to the people. Let us all unite. Let us fight for a new world to do away with greed. Now let us fight to free the world.
Welcome, folks, here in the Corporation Nation. Excuse me. It is the 23rd of February, 2015. Welcome to the show. No guest today. Thought we'd just have a call-in show, and we can talk about anything your little heart's desire today. 1-800-313-9443. 1-800-313-9443. Feel free to call in, especially if you've never called before. I was looking at a couple words today, just some interesting stuff. Since we've been talking about the difference between the master and the doctrine of master and servant, if you will, which is the law of agency, basically, of principal and agent. And there's an interesting word. It's appurtenant. A-P-P-U-R. That's appurtenant. And if you break it apart, of course, apper and tenant. So I was reading it's a right connected with the enjoyment or use of another thing as principle. Also the thing itself out of which the right grows as an incident. Now, it goes on, connected with or pertaining to a thing of superior nature. So are we connected to something of a superior nature? Well, if you're acting as a citizen, if you're acting as an agent of the federal government, and you're doing business basically in its name, through its name, which is your name, unfortunately that makes you just that, connected with or pertaining to a thing of superior nature. In strict legal sense, land can never be appurtenant to land. A thing to be appurtenant to another must be of a different and congruous nature, such as an easement or a servitude. Now remember, we talked about land, and that essentially we are land. We are it's hard to put that into words, of course, but basically you could consider the birth certificate, in a sense, a land patent. The law of the land is simply the law of the court. What the court decides is the law of the land, basically. So another word for that, when we look up law of the land, is, if I can do it off the top of my head, it's a famous saying. I'll have to look it up because I can't think of it right now. But land can never be appurtenant to land. So if you change that around a bit, the people can never be appurtenant to the people. Land can never be appurtenant to the land. So when we're talking about the notion of being under a sovereign thing, well, if we are not part of that sovereign thing, then we can be appurtenant to it. In other words, if for a thing to be appurtenant to the other thing must be of a different and congruous nature. Well, we are very different. Remember, we're domiciles of the United States. We're citizens of the United States. We are not citizens of the States United. We are not the people, and therefore we can be appurtenant to the United States. We don't have the rights that we keep dreaming and saying and suggesting that we do, and when the court tells us that we don't, they're being very honest. They're not being corrupt. they're being exactly what they're supposed to be, which is a state of corruption. But I'm just remember that they're the age-old cry of the oppressor. They're just doing their job. They're doing what they're supposed to be doing. Again, the problem is us. The problem is that we are not acting in the capacity we should be acting in. So a servitude is an appurtenant. All right, something must be of a different and congruous nature, such as an easement or a servitude. Well, folks, what does it say a United States citizen is? It's in servitude to the United States. Or some collateral incident belonging to and for the benefit of the land. You see, we're not part of the land anymore. We belong to the land, which is the law of the land. It is said that nothing can be appurtenant unless the thing agrees in quality and nature to the thing whereunto it appertaineth. As a thing corporeal properly cannot be appurtenant to a thing corporeal, nor a thing incorporeal to a thing incorporeal. Sort of hard to understand, but the point I'm trying to make is something that appertains, or something appertaining to another thing as a principle, and passing as an incident to such principle, a right not connected with the enjoyment or use of a parcel of land cannot be annexed as an incident to that land so as to become appurtenant to it. You guys are probably going to have to read this yourself. The expression appurtenances of a ship is one of the expressions that kind of caught me. Is not to be construed with reference to the abstract naked idea of a ship. The relation which the equipment bears to the actual service is to be looked at. So it goes. It talks about furniture. It talks about all kinds of things. So you just got to understand that we are considered as. Oh man, it's hard to put this into words. I can't remember the term that KW used, but furniture is you know, cargo, basically, is what we are considered when it comes to the ship reference. Anyway, 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-944, pardon me, 313-9443. I was reading a book today. Someone sent me. There's a website. It's not the law. It'snotthelaw.com. And on that site is quite a bit of good information. This guy's been fighting this system for a while. Chapter 4 of his book, which is called It's Not the Law, I just want to read a little section from this because I thought it was apropos to what we've been talking about. Legal word crafting is Chapter 4. Legal word crafting. Mark Twain once said, "The difference between the right word and the almost right word is the difference between lightning and a lightning bug." Law instructor and sovereign Gary DeMott, perhaps inspired by the above quote, also said, "The difference in describing a lightning bug and a lightning bolt is only a couple of letters, but you had better know the difference before you go out and try to catch one." In law, words have exact meanings, as we've been preaching. Exact meanings. Not like our language, not, let's say, like the word F-U-C-K, which can mean thousands of different things depending on its use. No, in law, words have a singular meaning. And the use of law revolves around how words are defined. Imagine if one letter was changed in a legal document with the intent to trick you. It is done all the time, unfortunately. One letter in law can be just as important as the difference between an M16 rifle and an F-16 fighter plane. Quote by Robert W. Wungrud, "We seldom try to understand the meanings of words. The meaning of words, excuse me. We just seem to mouth them and hold them dearly, but seldom attempt to investigate their substantive implications and precise meanings. How easily we are put to sleep by our eyes, even when we are awake." So he's talking about the importance of words. Again, it doesn't take long with a law dictionary to realize that there is more than one reason people love to hate attorneys. These drafters of encoded laws are artists when it comes to using words to deceive us. The concept introduced in this chapter is a recurring theme throughout this book, and it ties into various subjects. Some of my favorite examples of this art, we've talked about terms of art and art forms, each different system, from the medical system to the science system to the law system, the legal system, is an art, and they all have terms of art or terms de la ley. Some of my favorite examples of this art need to be held back until later in this book because of their ties into subjects I haven't explained yet. Some are important enough to require their own chapter, where I have room to present supportive evidence. However, I wanted to introduce legal word crafting early, so you might be thinking about it as we read. Unalienable or inalienable rights. Now, even myself, sometime between now and the time I started this show, did not fully understand the significance difference between unalienable and inalienable. We could say the same thing about undependence and independence. They're two different things. Non-dependence and independence. Consider the word unalienable. This word is used by Thomas Jefferson in the second sentence of the Declaration of Independence, where he described certain rights, where it says, "We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. All men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness." Well, that's great. It's a wonderful statement, but it only applies to men. Are we men? Well, we like to think we are, just like we like to think that we're constitutional citizens. Well, we're not. We're not acting in the right capacity. If we were acting as men and men alone, with no name and substance and no titles and no anything else, then yeah, we could say we have unalienable rights. But remember, that was only the Declaration of Independence. Unalienable rights are unique in that no one can lien them. They cannot be taken away or surrendered under any circumstance. They are unalienable. It is no surprise that those who want to rule over us had to come up with a distraction from the concept of God-given unalienable rights. Now here again, you see the notion of God giving us those unalienable rights. Who else could possibly give unalienable rights? Right? But God. Doesn't matter what your belief in that aspect is, you just gotta be reasonable and logical here. Who could possibly have the authority and the sovereignty to give mankind rights? Well, it would be the Creator of mankind, which, again, God is the Creator of man, and that goes throughout law. This is not my opinion, it's the Bible's opinion, and it's the law's opinion. Whatever your opinion is, you take it elsewhere, because it doesn't apply to what we're talking about. Okay. When a victim in today's courtrooms makes any reference to their rights, judges are quick to ask, "Oh, are you referring to your inalienable rights?" By implying an interest in your welfare, Title 42 of U.S. Code is called welfare, that's what Social Security and everything is, they hope to secure an agreement from you, and if you accept this counterfeit offering, you have just given away the farm. You've declared that your rights are inalienable. Black's Fifth Law Dictionary informs us that inalienable rights are, quote, "not capable of being surrendered or transferred without the consent of the one possessing such rights." Now, do you think God gave inalienable rights? No. You see, he said, "You have under God, you have unalienable rights. You are, I am, and nothing else." Now, if you choose to sell those rights, or as it says here, surrender or transfer those rights in exchange for goods and services, benefits, whatever, if you consent to that, then you are no longer capable of God's protection. You're no longer capable of being man or considered as man, a man of God, you've given that up. You've sold your rights, buddy. This reveals that you can surrender, sell, or transfer inalienable rights if you consent, either actually or constructively. By falling for the trap of claiming inalienable rights rather than unalienable rights, you have, in essence, surrendered your rights, as the devils have a number of reasons to presume that you contracted these inalienable rights away long before you came near their courtroom. Excuse me. We should be thankful for our unalienable rights and exercise them with that when necessary. I believe that God is going to hold us accountable if we disregard them. In law, that's a true statement. The legal law is there to catch all who have fallen. Think of this the next time you hear someone talk about going down to request a concealed carry permit. Our enemies certainly like it when we ask their permission to exercise a God-given right we already have. This not only implies that we, the people, acknowledge their presumption of authority over us, but provides evidence that we, in fact, consent to it. The simple act of getting permission to do something acknowledges that your rights are not your own, that you sold them in exchange for the power to do something with the permission of the state. So, he goes on to say, talk about upper and lowercase letters. Upper and lowercase letters are often in legal writing to flag hidden meanings, like a secret code almost. We talked about this before. All the capital words in the Constitution have a very, very specific legal meaning, proper noun meaning, that really needs to be acknowledged. Arms, we've talked about, being a proper noun, referring to heraldry. The United States seal and flag, law of the flag, all of that stuff, not just guns. And order, orders is capitalized, people is capitalized, meaning a specific group of people, not all men were automatically people, of course not. We know that by just looking at color. Landholders were, white landholders were were the people. And still are. And unfortunately, that's none of us. Remember, we're just tenants. It is amazing how using an uppercase letter in place of one in lowercase can change a word's meaning in legalese. These artists of deception include alternative meanings in their law dictionary so they can deny accountability should you attempt to point any of this out. Try it, and they will look down their noses at you as if you have mental problems, all the while knowing full well that they set up these legal tricks to deceive we, the people. Consider the following questions many have encountered on a typical job application. It is a good example of how words are used to deceive us. What's the question? Well, we've talked about it before. What happens when you go register to vote? What's the first question they ask you? Are you a citizen of the United States? It's the first question you see on almost every application, folks. You ever notice that? When you go to apply for a job at a local corporation, what's the first thing they ask you? Are you a citizen of the United States? If yes, what's your social security number? What's this? What's that? What's that? Once you admit to being a citizen of the United States, you have just admitted to having inalienable rights. Rights that are granted to you by the state, not unalienable. Those were gone. There are three traps contained in this question, all designed to obtain or presume jurisdiction over you. The first trick is the word citizen. He says, prior to the 14th Amendment, which we've talked about, where this word with a lowercase c was first introduced in American founding documents, it was always spelled with an uppercase c. This was done to imply sovereignty, as free white citizens were specifically recognized as sovereigns in this country's early years. Our supremacy doesn't depend. Well, I hear some music. Looks like we've changed the schedule yet again. We'll be back, folks. Stay tuned. But if you think you need guns to stop tyranny, then what you waiting for? We've already stripped you of your liberty, privacy, civil rights, and dignity. You want some more?
Recent events have shown just how vulnerable we are to deadly viruses, bacteria, and fungus. These diseases are all caused by infectious pathogens that often get the upper hand on conventional medical treatments. Now more than ever, there's a great need for a product that will help protect us. Look no further. Supernatural Silver can provide immune system support to help fight off these deadly pathogens. Supernatural Silver is a new and vastly improved type of silver solution that's safe and extremely effective against 143 types of bacteria, both forms of viruses, mold, and yeast. Supernatural Silver can be taken orally or used topically and can be used in a nebulizer or vaporizer for inhalation. With over 180 scientific studies by independent universities, hospitals, and research institutions, Supernatural Silver is a powerful weapon against disease. Go to supernaturalsilver.com and use the promo code SILVER2014 for 20% off your entire order. Give you and your loved ones a fighting chance with Supernatural Silver.
There are many water filters to choose from, but there is only one system that is consistently customer rated 5 stars as the number one system for effective filtration of fluoride, radiation, drug residues, heavy metals, a wide range of radioisotopes, and more. Introducing the PureFect Ultra, the next generation water filter that also raises alkaline pH, improves antioxidant potential, and has advanced anti-radiation technology. All while using no electricity. Sold worldwide, it provides virtually instant clean water on demand. It is not made in China, and the shipping is free to all 50 states. Buy your PureFect Ultra today by visiting PureFectFilters.com or call 888-891-4821. Again, that's 888-891-4821 or visit PureFectFilters.com.
What are you thinking? Micro plant powder with iodine and probiotics for a total body detox for around $10 a month. HempUSA.org has 12 formulations of micro plant powder for absorbing and removing toxins from your kidneys, liver, blood, lungs, stomach, and colon, and feel better than ever. It alkalizes, oxygenates, kills parasites, does the job of 10 products. That saves you space, time, and money. Call 888-910-4367 only at HempUSA.org.
Whew, nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
My neighbor, welcome again to this neighborhood. I'd like to show you something. You know what this is? Well, maybe if I press this button.
There are so many things to learn about in this world, and so many people who can help us learn, and so many people who can help us learn.
Did you ever grow anything in the garden of your mind? You can grow ideas in the garden of your mind.
In the garden of your mind.
It's good to be curious about many things. You can think about things and make believe. All you have to do is think. You can think about things and make believe.
That's 1-800-343-1943 if you'd like to call in today. You know, this notion of... let's see here. This notion of sovereignty is always a funny one. I think there's just so much confusion over what is and what is not sovereignty. But, let's see. Where did I put my stuff here? here's a couple definitions. Sovereign is a person, body, or state in which independent and supreme authority is vested. A person, body, or state in which independent and supreme authority is vested. sovereignty out of Black's Fifth. The supreme, absolute, uncontrollable power by which any independent state is governed. Supreme political authority. Political authority. Remember, political authority really only stems or has any power over something that is inalienable. Right? Political authority has nothing to do with someone that is a man under God with unalienable rights that he's kept because he hasn't sold them to the sovereign, the body or state, where the supreme authority is vested, you see. We don't fall under that category. That's the problem. The supreme, absolute, uncontrollable power by which any independent state is governed, supreme political authority, the person or body of persons in the state to whom there is politically no superior. All right, so that's important state. Now, can a man be a sovereign or have sovereignty? Well, technically, yes, if you are part of the people. The people that's referred to in that constitution. But as, again, as as a citizen of the United States, then no, absolutely not. There just doesn't exist in that capacity. So when we're talking about, well, let's go on. Sovereignty itself is, this is from Justice Matthews in Yickwu versus Hopkins, 18 U.S. 356. Sovereignty itself is, of course, not subject to law. How do you know whether you're sovereign or not? You're either subject to the law or you're not. You're either in a state of sovereignty or you're not. Sovereignty itself is, of course, not subject to law. If you're appearing in front of a judge about a right, about a law, well, chances are you're not sovereign. The police officer is pulling you over, asking you for a driver's license because you have a license plate on your car. Yeah, you, fortunately, that means you're not sovereign. You don't have sovereignty. You're not one of the people. While for it is the author and source of the law. So let's read that again. Sovereignty itself, of course, is, of course, not subject to law, for it is the author and source of law. Wow. Who's the author and source of law, folks? Well, we know God. That's a given. And he says we have unalienable rights. However, government comes along and says, and God gives us the choice. We know that. It's all about choice. Through causality, we're granted the choice to sell our rights, to transfer them to government in exchange for a citizenship that we can sail around the seas of international commerce. International average during maritime law. That's our choice, even if we don't know we're making it. So, if the sovereign or sovereignty is not subject to law, for it is the author and source of the law, well, what makes you think, and see, this has always been a bone of contention with me, what makes you think that the government has to answer to any law? You call it sovereign. It calls itself sovereign. What in the hell makes you think that there is any law above government? Sure, it acknowledges God, but it's not acting under that capacity because you're not acting under that capacity. The sovereign knows no law. That's why you can't be sovereign. You can be part of a sovereign team. We'll be back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Earthquakes, hurricanes, nuclear accidents, terror attacks, and all-out social collapse. With the world today more volatile than ever, the future has never looked more uncertain. Survivalist Magazine is the one resource you can't afford to be without. Claim your free trial subscription now at www.survivalist.com and your first issue ships immediately. Get all the details and more at www.survivalist.com or order by phone. Call 1-866-437-6570. Your survival may depend on it.
Americans are reeling from Obamacare, higher prices, and an epidemic of policy lapses. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com has you covered. World-class medical and surgery at one of Asia's most modern hospitals. 300 doctors, surgeons, and dentists serving 300,000 patients a year. Fractions of U.S. prices. Friends or family forced to go out of pocket? Avoid bankruptcy. Tell them to run. Run like hell. Hit us up now. We'll show you how. AsiaRunLikeHellGuide.com.
Has your dancing and romancing done gone away? Are you moaning and a-groaning from the stresses of the day? Are you reeling and appealing because a headache's on the way? Well, relax for just a moment. Stress relief is on the way. Of what am I speaking, you ask? The essential oils of long historic use, the wisdom of the ages, the health care of the ancients, frankincense, myrrh, hyssop, and hundreds of others too numerous to mention. What could be more appealing? Do you know that Young Living essential oils has an element of life that makes them extremely effective in body rejuvenation? This element is called vibration, and it works with body systems, not against them. The professionals at Divine Living Oils have tested and been so impressed with this product that we are using them to help others. And who are we? We are health professionals with many years' experience. Trust us, we have seen the good, the bad, and the ugly. Our motto? Because we care about you. Do your health and spirit a great favor. Call us at 304-542-4226. That's 304-542-4226. Again, that's 304-542-4226.
With autumn in the air, it's time to think about getting ready for winter. And it's time to save at HerbalHealer.com. You'll find amazing seasonal savings to prepare you for the fight against cold and flu season. Like Oregacillin to promote lung health. 30 capsules, regularly $34.95, now only $25. HHA Olive Leaf, the natural antiviral, normally $16.95, now 60 capsules are just $12. HHA Elderberry Power, a great flu and virus fighter, regularly $16.95, 60 capsules, now $10. Save on all our homeopathic detoxes. Choose from lungs, kidney, liver, brain, libido, or whole body, normally $26.95, now just $20. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click on the Fall Winter Specials button to save on all our natural cold and flu fighting products. Also explore our Herbal Healer Academy correspondence courses that teach you how to handle your health naturally. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Dr. Joel Wallach, author of the famous health lecture, Dead Doctors Don't Lie, presents his newest book, Epigenetics. Epigenetics is required reading for the very survival of Americans, and yes, all of humanity. Modern man has bet on the wrong horse to save them from disease and pestilence. The medical system has failed us fearfully. Join the health revolution. Buy Epigenetics today and receive a free membership to purchase all the products that Dr. Joel Wallach formulated at wholesale prices. And receive a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. All this for only $25 plus shipping and handling. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311. Again, that's just $25 plus shipping and handling. And you'll receive the new book, Epigenetics, a free membership and a free CD of Dead Doctors Don't Lie. Call 888-311-4311. That's 888-311-4311.
This thing about sovereignty, again, if sovereignty is not subject to law because it is the author of law, and we call our government sovereign, here's what else it says in this case. But in our system, while sovereign powers are delegated to the agencies of government, hear that? Sovereign powers are delegated to the agencies of government, sovereignty itself remains with the people, by whom and for whom all government exists and acts. And the law is the definition and limitation of power. Well, This is that confusing notion of the people. We are supposedly the people, and yet somehow we are ruled as the people. The people sues us when we do something wrong. It gets all confusing and stuff. Well, that's the thing. If we are not the people, and instead we are under the sovereignty, and therefore it makes the law for us because we are its agents, and the law is the definition and limitation of power. Well, that's what the Constitution is. That's what the is the notion that, okay, here's the laws, here's the constitutional restrictions, this is the limitation of power of government over people. Who are the sovereign? The sovereign people as one group, as one body politic, the state of people. But we are not that. This is a problem. So, you know, we just go over and over and over the same thing. I guess the best example I can give is to say, let's say you go and you want to create a new nation. You say, well, we're tired of this government. We want to create our own Declaration of Independence. We want to create our own constitution, form our own government. Well, how would you do that? Would you write up a document and you know, how would you sign the document? Would you use your name that was given to you by this government? Because do you think that this government would allow its citizens to form a new government in its own jurisdiction? Do you think that you could sign your government name, your surname, to a contract, a compact between people or states that would allow you to form a new government under that sovereignty? No, you can't do that because you're not the sovereigns. You're not the people. You would be literally creating a document thinking that you are the sovereign people, but in fact are not. You'd be doing it as a government employee. It would be like the employees of Walmart getting together and saying we want to start the new Walmart. It's not going to happen. Alienable. That may be sold, transferred to another. Unalienable. Not alienable. That which cannot be alienated. Alienated. I don't know. Everybody gets on me for not saying that right. That may not be transferred. Unalienable rights. The state of a thing which cannot be sold. Things which are not in commerce. Things which are not in commerce are unalienable. We are commercial vehicles. We are commercial vessels. The natural rights of life and liberty are unalienable. Unalienable, that is, cannot be sold or transferred. What is inalienable? Well, it's unalienable, except that it cannot be legally or justly alienated or transferred to another. The dominions of a king are inalienable. Why are the dominions of a king inalienable? Because the king can sell those lands off anytime he wants to. They're not unalienable. All men have certain natural rights which are inalienable. The estate of a minor is inalienable without reservation of right of redemption, the authority of the legislature. Inalienable applies to those things. Remember, not men. Men have unalienable rights, but things have inalienable rights, the property of which cannot be lawfully transferred from one person to another. Lawfully transferred, no, but what about legally? Public highways and rivers of this kind. There are also many unnatural rights which are inalienable, as the rights of liberty or of speech. Inalienable rights, the term given to the fundamental rights accorded to all people. Ah. Isn't that interesting? Inalienable rights, the term given to the fundamental rights accorded to all people. Inalienable, not subject, in other words, forced to alienation. It has to be a choice. Just because rights, fundamental rights, inalienable rights are accorded to all people doesn't mean they have to take them. Remember, you have to accept citizenship. The characteristic of those things which cannot be bought or sold or transferred from one person to another etc., etc., etc. Morrison versus Estate says, rights which are not capable of being surrendered or transferred without the consent of the one possessing such rights. So hopefully, you know, we can see the we can see the difference. Morrison versus Estate, inalienable rights versus the rights that cannot be forcibly surrendered, sold, or transferred to someone else, so they can't be forcibly surrendered. Remember, nothing is forced on you, folks. All the stuff that's forced on you is not because... it's because you've accepted. You're consenting to all of this. It's not being forced on you because you have no choice. It's because you've made a choice. Whether you know it or not is not the point. The choice is there, and until you back out of that choice, until you back out of a state of inalienability, until you back out of the fact that you've sold your rights, you should expect tyranny. We should all expect it, because we're not acting in the right capacity. These rights, however, it says, these rights can be transferred with the consent of the person possessing those rights. Inalienable. Inalienable is defined as incapable of being surrendered or transferred, at least without one's consent. Now, you don't see that on unalienable. That's not what that means, but inalienable it does. A person can surrender, sell, or transfer inalienable rights by actual or constructive consent. A person can surrender, sell, or transfer those rights in by actual or constructive consent. I really want to get this clear to people, because again, it bothers me so much that when we hold up a sign, or when we hold up a sign a petition, we are not doing so in the capacity we think we are. It's really ridiculous when you actually think about the fact that we believe we are something we are not. Anyway, let's go to the phones. We talk about this all the time. Chris in Colorado, welcome, Chris.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. I have a kind of clear example of an individual sovereign that was actually in the news today. And that person was King Juan Carlos of Spain. And he was a sovereign king. And for some reason, I didn't read the article in detail, but he signed away his sovereignty at 77 years of age. I guess there's maybe a time limit or something. But anyways, he's no longer a sovereign individual. And as soon as he did that, he had to go to court over a paternity lawsuit from someone, a young lady, who claimed that she was one of his illegitimate children. So that's an example of someone who was a sovereign and was completely outside of the law, not subject to the law, and didn't have to enter into a court, and then lost his sovereignty immediately after thereof. He has to go to court.
And the title was again?
Title of what?
The title of the man?
King Juan Carlos.
And
he's also a Knight of Malta, and I believe that all members of the Knights of Malta exercise full individual sovereignty, as well as the organization itself is a sovereign organization.
Well, that makes him the sovereign. Makes him the. I mean, by necessity, then he's the lawmaker.
Yeah, I suppose. I mean, I don't know that aspect of it, but. Yeah.
Well, that's how it's defined. Yeah. So, in other words, yeah, he's not subject to law, but other people are subject to his laws. And this is why I say men of God cannot be sovereign. They can have their sovereign, and they can be part of a sovereignty, but if you're a sovereign, then you have no law above you.
Right.
So, it's yeah, I mean, if you're king, absolutely, you're definitely the lawmaker.
So I understand what you're saying when there's a confusion about the definition of what Americans deem to be individual sovereignty in this country. It's just not possible.
Well, let's give an example from U.S. Code, Title 5, Subsection 552A. The term individual means a citizen of the United States or an alien lawfully admitted for permanent residence. The term federal personnel means officers and employees of the government of the United States. Individuals entitled to receive immediate deferred retirement benefits, which is a big part of this going into the Social Security aspect. And then the term, what else did I have? The term from Title 8 from the Immigration and Nationality Act, which is 8 U.S. Code 1101A 22, the term national of the United States, which a lot of people seem to want to go to be, but you're still, you see, there's the national of the United States. It means you're still getting your status from the United States. You're still of a creation of the Creator, United States. So the term national of the United States means a citizen of the United States or a person who, though not a citizen of the United States, owes permanent allegiance to the United States. So anytime you're of something, that means you're of that sovereignty. It means it's the Creator. It means that you owe allegiance to it, basically, and that's the problem. See, I think the misunderstanding, and I might be wrong about this, I don't know, is that we think that being a United States citizen and giving our allegiance to the United States is what creates us as, but if we do that, then how can we possibly be of the sovereignty? See, if we can't be the people which are sovereign and be citizens of the United States. This is why the word sovereign citizen is such an oxymoron. So under no circumstances are citizens of the United States the sovereign people. It can't be. You cannot be a sovereign and a citizen. It just doesn't. The two words don't go together. That's why it's such a ridiculous term. That's why I say we need to get back to the state of being part of the sovereign people, to where the government is again bound and created for those people. Otherwise, we're just under the government.
I think there's a more practical solution, because I don't think that's plausible. It's too. I don't know. It's just too radical. It's too much work.
It's not radical,
I think,
at all. This is why we have KW on the show. He's already done it.
What did he do?
He got a declaratory judgment that says he's a private citizen of the state of Kentucky. He shows that to police officers to show he's not under the DMV code, which is a part of the interstate commerce. He's already done it. This is why I'm now promoting this so much. Now I understand how it works. There's nothing radical about it. It's what we're supposed to do.
Okay, so is he just free from being under the thumb of the DMV, or what other kinds of, just like,
no,
well,
he is
not.
He is not a United States citizen. He is a private citizen of the state of Kentucky. And therefore, he is not bound by any of the federal taxes, anything federal, any IRS. He has no Social Security. He doesn't get any of the benefits, but he also doesn't have any of the. I mean, you're talking about the next step towards true freedom when you become one of the people again.
Okay, but he's under the jurisdiction of what state was that?
Well, he becomes... He's in Kentucky, actually.
Right, yeah. So he would be under the thumb of Kentucky, then.
Well, in the fact that the people are Kentucky. See, that's the thing about the quota, that term, the people, is that all of the things that Kentucky does, most of the administrative law, the municipal corporations, the counties, the districts, those are all set up to handle foreign persons, which are United States citizens. So we are all being administered as agents of an entity of the United States. We're under that law. This is why the federal law trumps all state law, because we are foreign entities in the states. We're not the people. That's the difference. Okay. And so he's actually gotten a judgment, a declaratory judgment, that states that he's no longer a United States citizen.
Okay. And so you're saying that's the end of it then. That's the solution, is to become a private citizen.
That's what I'm going to be doing here very soon. And from that point on, then I can say, well, okay, now I can actually make an appearance in court. If I understand the law of agency, then I can make an appearance in court and I can say, well, I'm not that person. I'll be acting as the agent or attorney of that person today.
I see.
But I'm not liable to anything that person does. Now,
right.
one of the things he talked about, which was very cool, if someone sues the person and he's acting as agent of the person, then he can just take a piece of paper up, blank piece of paper, sign it, and that becomes a blank check, give it to the judge, and say, administer this account.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, the whole thing is—it's becoming very clear to me how this all works, and this is why I'm sort of focusing on this. Stay tuned, man. We'll come back.
Nice shooting. Hey, that's a sweet AK-47 chest rig. Is that multicam?
Yep, got it from StrikeHardGear.com.
Strike what?
StrikeHardGear.com.
Set your sights on StrikeHardGear.com. Tough, tactical gear for your Soviet-style weapon that's made in the USA. Affordable, plus a no-questions-asked 30-day money-back guarantee and lifetime replacement warranty. StrikeHardGear.com. Go ahead, pull the trigger.
The IRS is a private corporation, not a government agency. Income tax is collected by voluntary compliance. To learn to unvolunteer or discontinue volunteering into the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com and immediately implement Strategy 1. The process must be repeated each and every time. Paper, letter, envelope, presentment, etc. Always and forever. Failure equates to acceptance, subsequent resultant contract, and you pay or go to jail by your own consent and agreement contract. Avoid recontracting. Visit escapeharassment.com and implement Strategy 1 immediately. Bar lawyers and accountants won't help you. Why wait? Get Strategy 1 and immediately implement it to divorce the IRS today and forever. That's escapeharassment.com, Strategy 1, to be free from the IRS. EscapeHarassment.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Extendovite really works. Here is what people are saying.
Oh, I had a problem with breathing. Well, I stopped to do some walking. I had a problem. I had a heart attack, my second one. I take this pill and I feel great.
I had sleep apnea 10 years ago, and I was in bed almost 24 hours a day, and painkillers out of this world. I started taking this. I'm down to almost no painkillers at all. And it helped my circulation 100%. My medical doctor, and I went to see him, and he could not believe it. There's no way it could have went down that fast. He could not believe it. I showed him what I was taking. He said, don't stop taking it. I wouldn't do without it. It's unbelievable.
To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Hi, my name is David Merlin from takefromcaesar.us. Income is defined in the tax code. All property is a cost, including labor, according to statute. You're deprived of the provisions of Section 83 whenever you pay an income tax on your compensation. According to Section 83, only the excess over the amount paid is gross income. The government can't so much as provide an interpretation of Section 83 of its own. Get your paradigm shift and understanding today at takefromcaesar.us.
So, Chris, let me just read you a couple court cases here. Now, in 1901, Downs versus Bidwell, 82 U.S. 244, 1901. We have in this country substantially or practically two national governments. Two national governments. One to be maintained under the Constitution with all its restrictions. The other to be maintained by Congress outside of and independently of that instrument by exercising such powers as other nations of the earth are accustomed to exercise. In other words, international admiralty maritime jurisdiction law, international law. I take leave to say that if the principles thus announced should ever receive the sanction of a majority of this court, a radical and mischievous change in our system of government will be the result, which is what we see today. We will, in that event, pass from the era of constitutional liberty guarded and protected by a written constitution into an era of legislative absolutism. Again, what we see today. It will be an evil day for American liberty if the theory of a government outside of the supreme law of the land finds lodgment in our constitutional jurisprudence. Hooven versus Allison and Company versus Evett, 324 U.S. 652 in 1945, then talks about that, which has already happened by now. The United States may acquire territory by Congress or by treaty, and may govern it through the exercise of the powers of Congress conferred by Section 3 of Article 4 of the Constitution. In exercising this power, Congress is not subject to the same constitutional limitations as when it is legislating for the United States. And in the general, the guarantees of the Constitution, save as they are only limitations upon the exercise of executive and legislative power when exerted for or over our insular possessions, extend to them only as Congress and the executive, in the exercise of its legislative power over territory belonging to the United States, has made those guarantees applicable. And then the Harvard Law Review states that these courts are not constitutional courts in which the judicial powers conferred by the Constitution on the general government can be deposited. They are incapable of receiving it. Courts cannot be constitutional courts. They will not hear your arguments of the Constitution for the Constitution. It does not apply. They are legislative courts created in virtue of the general right of sovereignty which exists in the government. There's two forms of government. One is where the people are the sovereign. One is where the government is the sovereign. All right. So in the virtue of that clause, which enables Congress to make all needful rules and regulations respecting its own territory belonging to the United States, the jurisdiction with which they are invested is not a part of that judicial power which is conferred in the third article of the Constitution, but is conferred by Congress in the execution of those general powers which that body may possess over the territories of the United States. So when we consider the DMV code, let's just take it as an example. DMV is strictly an executive department of commerce law. It's strictly admiralty in all of its function. It has nothing to do with anything. It's not common law. There's no injured party, so you know that you're not dealing with any kind of common law if you can get a ticket for running a red light. A red light cannot be an injured party. So it's not common law. It is not equity law or contract law because there's no contract with two parties, no dispute of contract. I didn't have a contract with that red light not to run it. The only thing left is the authorized is the Sea of Commerce. So everything's been flooded by the Sea of Admiralty maritime jurisdiction. We're driving in our vehicles as vessels of the United States, and driving is a privilege granted by license to foreign agents, which are we. We're foreign agents of the United States acting as third parties within the state. So that is commerce. Man, if you're still there, you could hang on. We'll take some more questions after the break. Stay tuned.
With financial uncertainty.